Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, two reports on housing out this morning. The first, that construction on up to 50,000 apartments across Dublin has been stalled, with the industry saying it's simply not commercially feasible to build them. And the second, that cash buyers are snapping up faulty apartments because the banks are not willing to lend to those who are looking for a mortgage to buy them. Well, for more, we're joined by Conor O'Connell, who's Director of Housing and Planning at the Construction Industry Federation, and also Michael Dowling, Mortgage and Financial Advisor. And Conor, I'll come to you first from the Construction Industry Federation point of view on those 50,000 stalled apartments. These apartments, they have planning permission, and that's normally cited for delays, we know, with construction. So can you explain what's the hold up?
Good morning, Claire. Thanks. Just in relation to the delays, it takes several years from project inception right the way through the planning system, sometimes the legal system, if you're unfortunate enough to be subject to the judicial review, for apartment schemes to go from project inception all the way through to when they're ready to go. And as we know, over the last number of years, material cost increases, interest rate rises, has utterly changed the cost structures and the viability assessment for apartment schemes in particular. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, apartment schemes always seem to attract observations, objections. Generally speaking, they're in existing urban areas.
But we're not talking about that here, though, are we? Because my understanding from this today is that these apartments have full planning permission.
It's difficult to get a funder, unfortunately, due to the complete and utter change in their cost structures. We've seen the retrenchment of the international pension funds, the real estate investment trusts from the Irish market, and there's a limited flow of capital at the moment willing to forward purchase or forward fund an apartment scheme. An apartment scheme, generally speaking, is for, you know, 50, 100 units plus. Your capital is all in at the outset. It's different completely to your traditional housing scheme where you can fund them on a stage basis. So that has, you know, there just is a very limited flow of capital we have.
So the tide has gone out, Conor. Just explain to people on the international funds that would have backed them in the past. Yeah. That's what's happened in ball terms.
It is, unfortunately, for many different reasons, planning delays, legal challenges, you know, the viability. They do assessments called their internal rate of return, where they assess the construction costs versus the rental yield that can be achieved in an apartment. And unfortunately, in the Irish market at the moment, the yield isn't there or attractive enough for them. The rental caps, unfortunately, have played a role in their assessment of the Irish market, and they simply are not buying apartment blocks at the scale that they were.
Okay.
There is some schemes getting going, Claire.
Right.
They're using the waiver and rebate scheme. This report was from quarter two of this year. So there has been some activation with the approved housing bodies for cost rental schemes, and hopefully there'll be more funding for that in the budget. But that's public funding, and you can't rely completely on public funding. We need the private investors back.
Why can't you? If the government puts the right funding in place, why can you not rely exclusively on it?
Because the capital outlay, we're looking at increasing the number of units up to at least 60,000 per annum. That's going to require, at the moment, there's approximately 10 billion euro worth of capital. That's a mix between private and public funding housing in Ireland at the moment. The public funding is around 5 billion, but what's required is 20 billion. There simply isn't enough that's per annum. The state doesn't have the ability to fund that scale of housing delivery. Mm-hmm. And the National Planning Framework is calling for 50% of that residential delivery to be within the existing urban areas. That means apartments. So that means that we absolutely need to attract the international funds back to fund apartment construction in particular.
And the cost, you're saying, of building an apartment in Dublin is $500,000, is it?
Yes, that's not what we're saying. There was a report from the Department of Finance on the availability, composition and flow of finance for residential development. And they actually quoted a figure of €496,000, excluding VAT and margin. And that is in a good case scenario where there's no soil remediation needed on a brownfield site, where there's no basement car parking. So that is at the minimum, that's at the lower level of the scale of the cost of delivery. Look, the Office for the Planning Regulator, in their report earlier on this year, they carried out a report on brownfield land activation, and they said that there's a need for fiscal measures, incentivization. The Housing Commission report talked about incentives being wholly inadequate for apartment construction. So we'd be hopeful that measures could be introduced to incentivize apartment construction. Mm-hmm.
The problem is with the international investors that, you know, they're buying or funding an apartment to be built at a cost of $500,000. You can imagine the rent that they'll need to charge to make the money back.
And that's at least $500,000, yes, that is true. However, having said that, the greater supply of apartment construction, the greater supply of you know, houses, homes for people, will result in a stabilisation of price increases. You know, every economist will say that greater supply yields greater price control.
Okay, Conor, thank you for joining us. Conor O'Connell, I want to go now to Michael Dowling, Mortgage and Financial Advisor. And Michael, we wanted to talk to you about this news that cash buyers are buying up these faulty apartments because the banks will not lend to people who are looking to buy them with a mortgage, which seems like a logical decision for the banks to make. But it means that only people who have a large amount of cash in the bank are managing to buy these places.
That's correct. But I suppose, Claire, firstly, anyone buying a property needs to be aware of any defects with the property before they commit to purchasing. And unfortunately, following Celtic era building regulations, which didn't stand up to scrutiny, we've got an awful lot of apartments out there that have defects in them, mainly fire regulations. And obviously within an apartment block, because of the nature of the build, you need to be very, very careful in purchasing a property that may have fire defects that could cost a significant amount of money to remedy.
And do you find that people are going a long way down the road to buying a property before they discover that these defects are there, or are they aware from the get-go?
In some instances, they're not aware, but I suppose within the industry, and you'll see in the article this morning, I mean, a lot of the estate agents who are selling these properties are aware of the defects, and I mean, they are also, any estate agent is obliged to tell any prospective purchaser of any defects that they are aware in relation to the property. So a lot of people would be aware of the defects that exist. I suppose to some degree, they're hoping that the defect won't be significant enough that it's going to impact on the decision made by a bank as to whether or not they will lend on the block. But again, by the nature of an apartment block, if one or two properties have defective issues around fire, in reality, the whole development has defects that have to be taken into consideration.
So, and we know that there is a government scheme coming, we're told, to fix these apartments, but clearly the banks are not willing to take that on board.
No, I mean, the difficulty is, I mean, each individual apartment block will have to be assessed around the level of repairs that are required, the cost involved, whether or not existing owners in the scheme can afford to pay for it or not, or whether the banks themselves may be asked to contribute. So it's very difficult to make a decision based on an individual block as to what is required to be done on it. So in reality, really these need to be remedied first, and then prospective purchasers will get appropriate financing from the banks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you mentioned the article. It's by Jade Wilson in the Irish Times, and well worth a look at for those who are interested. In general terms, Michael, you heard us talking to Conor about the apartments that can't be built because the builders say it's just not feasible. But on your side of things, you're seeing people who are mortgage approved. They've no trouble getting a mortgage, but they can't find anywhere to buy.
Yes, I mean, like, it's every day I meet first-time buyers who look sadly just can't find properties. I mean, the problem we've got is we've just over 2 million properties in Ireland, but only 0.6% of the housing stock is currently available for sale. And in any mature market like ours, we should have between 3 and 5% of the housing stock available. Now, by housing, I'm including apartments as well. But the reality, as I say, is we've only got 0.6%. So, unfortunately, that means you've got first-time buyers who have done all the right things. They've saved their deposit. They have jobs. They've shown, most importantly, repayment capacity to pay the mortgage. But there's a dire shortage of stock, which manifests, unfortunately, then in higher prices. And it, look, it's a very difficult and desperate situation for first-time buyers.
All right.
On the other side,
yeah,
then, Claire, we're not building enough new homes. Now, we are improving, but we're still not building enough new homes for them either.
Yep, and that's a well-rehearsed issue, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that again too. Thank you both, Conor O'Connell from the Construction Industry Federation and Michael Dowling there, from a mortgage and financial advisor. Next, we'll hear from a family carer who tells us why she wants the government to scrap the means test for carers' allowance.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.